I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Hey y'all, just a reminder, we've got the Patreon. It's like the offering plate when it comes around in church. Only give to the Patreon if you feel led. And if you do, know you're really doing the Lord's work, since it's the main way we support the pod and ourselves during the pandemic. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here.
Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're always giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We always introduce you to members of our church staff and our community, and I do believe it is a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I am joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Highs, everybody.
Hey, Hallie. How are you doing? So nice to see you.
I am blessed, my brother. How was your week?
Oh, well, I just had a great weekend with my teens coming to Climax because this weekend was Unbound.
Ooh.
That's sort of a spring festival that we do with all the other youth groups in the area.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's really turned into this great recruiting tool for us. You know, in case those teens come here and they have a better experience than whatever they're doing with their youth group at their kind of boring church.
Mm.
So I just love to put our best foot forward. And, you know, some of the other churches, they come with icebreakers or they do big sing-along. I decided to go in a totally different direction.
Ooh, what did you do?
Well, I hired a Dippin' Dots truck.
Awesome.
And I also got a Bluetooth photo booth.
Awesome.
So teens could just upload Climax branded, you know, photos right to the socials. And then, you know, the big hit was I did get a bouncy house, which I called Jump for Jesus. And that was really fun. Of course, you know, that was until, two of my teens, I don't like to name names, but Jeremothy Swagkos suplexed Ottoman Saladay and just dislocated his coccyx.
Oh, no.
So that was really bad. But, you know, really, Hallie, I really wanted to take this time today to just talk about something, clear up something in my personal life, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I think I mentioned him before, but do you know this guy, Clay Mason Bannerman? Yeah. Well, you know, I think I maybe have said, you know, he's this guy that I was trying to be friends with, and I helped him out with his son, Popsicles, after his son, Raylan Bannerman, abandoned it.
That would make it his grandson.
Whatever. And so really, Hallie, I'm just here to say that we are officially not friends anymore.
Oh.
And, you know, that when someone is toxic, there is just nothing you can do about it. And I can love the sinner and hate the sin with him, you know? And I think that what Jesus would do in this scenario is pray for him, but basically be like, look, I told you how you should be living your life and you're not. So I'll catch up with you later when you get your life right. And until then, lose my number.
Mm, love the sinner, hate the sin. What happened?
You know, I really don't want to go into it, Hallie, because he does listen to the podcast.
Well, maybe you guys could just...
Look, Hallie, he's a narcissist, and you can't cure that.
Okay.
And it's toxic, and it's ridiculous, and all the time and money in the world is not going to fix it. And he's not going to be a part of my life, so I'm really too busy for that, you know?
Well, maybe you could
Hallie, just... Hallie, the excess in the lying, in the sneaking around, in the parties, in the sin, Hallie. The sin.
Well, I think...
It doesn't matter what you think, Hallie. I'm talking about sin. Sin.
Okay, but
sin.
I was
talking
just
about sin, Hallie.
I
friggin'
know, but
sin. So...
But what was the... I just wanted to ask...
Hallie, I don't want to go into it. S-I-N. End of story. How was your weekend?
Oh, well, you know, my son Day is always giving me grief, and he says all these things that we believe. Well, the thing he's been up in my grill about this week is that he's like, Mom, all these things that we believe, they're ideas. They're not like these universal, factual, truths or whatever. These are just like ideas, and we want massive group commitment to just these ideas, and we'll even wage wars about ideas.
Well, I'll tell you, sin is a pretty big idea.
Anyway, so he and I are always going at it because he's challenging me, as you know, and he's saying that I'm a fundamentalist and a literalist. And I say, Day, that's not true. I believe every single word of the Bible is true and God breathed and inerrant and infallible, and that it applies to every person who ever lived on this planet, regardless of century or country or creed. And in fact, you know, I believe it is all facts in the Bible. It is universal truths, and it should be taken literally, as all truths should be taken literally. And if that means you got to call me a literalist, well, fine, if that's what that means.
But right.
Anyway.
It's like you should take someone literally when they're like, don't call me, right?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
So anyway, Day is always pointing out how the Bible, you know, think the same old things, like treats women as property, advocates polygamy, supports slavery, all those old chestnuts. And I say, Day, I take the deeper truths from the Bible. It is a voice of singularity. It's truth, and the truth lights my path. And Day said, this week he says to me, he goes, but the Bible begins with two contradictory accounts of creation. How can you say it has a singular voice? And I said, no, it does not. And he said, yes, it does. And I says, no, it doesn't. And he says, yes, it does. And I says, no, it doesn't. And he said, yes, it does. And I said, no. And he goes, Mom, please go read Genesis 1 and then read Genesis 2 and then come talk to me.
Okay. Did you?
I did. Because he's been telling me that I used the Bible as a prop instead of using it to further the church's agenda and force my desired lifestyle on everyone everywhere. I should start actually reading it. And as you know, Gray, I read the entire Bible every year in my Walk Through the Bible program. And most people don't even do that.
That is right.
I read the whole Bible from cover to cover every single year, all 66 books.
I know a lot of people who don't do that. And I know one person definitely who doesn't do that.
Well, I actually read the Bible constantly in my devotions. And so I sit down to read it, and I read the first one, I read the second one, the chapters of Genesis, and then I read them again. And I'm like, wait a second. And I was like, man, I've read these so many times, but maybe I wasn't really thinking about what I was reading, because sometimes, you know, maybe my eyes do just run over all the words because I mostly, honestly rely on the commentary that my Walk Through the Bible gives me.
Oh, right.
You know, it tells you what to notice in what you just read and then what meaning to take from everything. So I don't really have to think about it. I just read the, like, walk through the Bible.
Right. You know, and sometimes that's good because it makes it, you know, pretty easy.
Yeah. So I sat down to read it to, like, spite my son Jay. And when I sat and read it, I just was like thinking about each and every word, and I was trying to really comprehend and retain what it was saying. Have you ever done that with the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2?
Yeah, I mean, how can you even be friends if you're on totally different wavelengths?
Hmm? Well, anyway, it's weird because there are these two kind of contradicting accounts in these two chapters of the Bible. There's one story and then there's another story, and they don't match up with each other at all. And I'm honestly kind of surprised that I never noticed that. And I thought, why didn't I ever notice that before? And I didn't know what to make of it. And Day said, you know, Mom, maybe the Bible shouldn't be considered one voice or a singular point of view, but many, many points of view. Like, there are lots of different voices in the Bible. And Mom, that's called pluralism. And I said, I don't know what that means, but I'm pretty sure we're not, that's not the Bible, and we're not supposed
right.
to say that.
Yeah.
And Day goes, no, Mom, the Bible begins with pluralism. This is a text that we hold sacred. And so maybe it should be seen as a dialogue instead of a monologue. Like, it's not teaching at us, but it's encouraging us to kind of, you know, like, talk about it and wrestle with it and take things from it. Maybe the Bible itself is starting out with contradictory stories, almost as if maybe it's suggesting that there are a lot of ways to see things, and that we can wrestle with the text and we can find symbolism and metaphor rather than one truth to rule them all, one truth to bind them, one truth to bring them all, and then the darkness bind them.
I don't know. Eventually, dialogue just doesn't work, and you got to go with one point of view, especially when there's, you know, controversy.
Yeah. So, you know how I've been, I was thinking about this, Greg. You know how I've been taking my Koine Greek classes so I could interpret the New Testament?
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I started looking and I was like, maybe I should look up some of this Hebrew stuff and see what I can learn online so I can understand the original source material for the Old Testament, too. Because,
oh, cool.
Like, if we're basing our whole idea of reality on this and how the world got here and the creation story as, like, scientific fact and everything, you know, maybe I should look it all up. And so you can find some of this stuff online. You know what one of the most interesting things I found?
What's that, Hallie?
I thought Adam in the creation story was like a guy's name, like my neighbor with the long red ponytail. Adam?
Yeah.
It's not a name, Adam. The word is Adam. And it turns out Adam in the original Hebrew language means like earthling or groundling.
Earthling or groundling?
Yeah, because the word for earth in Hebrew is Adama. Adama.
Adama.
And so Adam is earthling.
Okay, so
it makes it kind of sound like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
what
totally.
Is this, Battlestar Galactica? So evidently, Adam is a primordial human that's genderless until the moment God splits it, creating Ish and Isha simultaneously. So it's this like androgynous, is that how you say it? It's this androgynous human prototype who becomes a male when the deity physically alters it to create a female, which is kind of interesting, don't you think? Because like we've built all of society on the fact that God created man in his image and then women were an afterthought. We're just like some McRibs, you know? And then how different do you think things would look if we knew that it actually said that there was no male identity until the female was created?
Huh?
Isn't that wild? Ish, male, and Isha, female, they were split simultaneously, created at the exact same time. They were split, kind of like you and Clay Mason Bannerman.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like the Psalms tell us to lift up our voices and sing, our guest today celebrates a true voice for Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Miss Laban Bobertson.
Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Laban, it's so nice to see you. And you know, that name, Laban, I usually associate it as a man's name and usually a name that not many, you know, it is a Christian name, but is, you know, it's usually a guy's name and it's from the Old Testament. It's just peculiar that you've got that name, Laban.
Yes. My mom was super inspired in the book of Genesis. You know, he did some sneaky things. And I think that she was feeling kind of like spicy when she wanted to name me. It was like, let's have some fun.
That is right.
Well, were you sneaking around in utero being a little being a little stinker?
You know, she did say I did kick quite a lot.
Oh, that yeah. You're great. A kicker.
So really getting wild in there.
That is great.
Well, Laban, I mentioned in your little intro that there you celebrate a certain voice for Christ, a wonderful singer, and you have a whole Christ-centered small group based on this person. Why don't you tell us who she is and why you love her and what you're doing?
Okay, I'm so happy to spread the word of God, of course, but also the voice of Reba McEntire. Excuse me, Reba Nell McEntire.
Oh, her middle name is Nell?
Nell.
Oh, Nell.
Nell.
Now?
Nell.
Like it's happening right now?
No, Nell.
Oh, all right. Like not then, like bring it over here right now.
No, like kind of like Reba Nell.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Nell.
Okay, right.
Nell.
Yeah.
Nell. Oh, well. La, 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 la.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it immediately. Reba Nell. That's cool. So what is it about Reba that you like so much?
Well, where to start? You know, this woman is 65 years old, but she has had it together since she was 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's just been a woman of Christ her whole life. And I feel like a lot of times when celebrities kind of get into the limelight, they forget who they are. Mm-hmm. They forget where they came from.
Yep.
Reba never forgot. She gives it up to our Lord all the time. And she's just... she's, first of all, she's absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And she has the body of a teenager.
Really? Wow. Does she?
Incredibly. Everything is perky.
Wow.
Everything is perky. Everything is tight.
I'm so surprised to hear she's 65 because, I mean, she's got that gorgeous, vibrant red hair. Her face is, I mean, she is keeping it right and she is keeping it tight.
And you have a really similar hair,
yeah.
I guess.
Like, is that a wig or is that your hair that's exactly like her hair?
Thank you so much. No, it is my own hair. It did take several trips to the barber shop, but I think that finally I've got it right.
You nailed it. You look exactly like her hair.
Oh my God.
That's so cool.
Well, thank you so much.
So how do you use Reba to do your small group?
So in Reba Reborn, the group is for devoted Christians, but also devoted Reba fans.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
So we take scripture and quotes from Reba and we melt them together.
Oh, cool.
And we do a lot of singing. A lot, you know, so we're not part of the choir. I do want to just be straightforward. We're not trying to step on any toes, but we do a lot of singing. And then sometimes I'll make everybody kind of act out episodes from Reba.
Oh, did she have a show?
A TV show.
Oh, she has a show?
Oh my gosh, you don't know that. You don't know she has a TV show?
No, I don't really pay attention to Reba, but...
No, I've seen it. It's a good comedy.
Oh, it's the best comedy.
Where can I find it? What's it on?
Hulu.
Oh, I got that.
Or TV Land. Or honestly, if you want to come to... We have an upcoming show at the end of this month that you could come to. We're reenacting the whole season 4. But don't worry. We do like anything that's kind of like, that's not really Christian. We substitute the word God.
Oh, cool. Now, when you do the reenactments of her TV show seasons, who plays Reba? Do you have to take turns or do you get it because of the hair?
Well, so I don't really hold auditions yet. It's just me playing all of the family members. But the other people in the club are definitely on the sidelines, like ready to come in if I ever need help.
I see.
So I do. I play everybody.
I mean, I don't have Hulu or TV. So are the new episodes coming out?
Are there new episodes of Reba coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's been off for a while. It only lasted 6 seasons.
Oh, okay. So what you guys do, I'm just trying to, you know, I think it's just awesome, but what you do, it sounds like to me, is you guys get around and you've got this, you know, lady that you all really love, and then you do the parts of this Reba lady, and you do a bit of Bible.
Yes.
And I just think this is really, I guess I would say specific.
It's definitely specific. We're definitely devoted. I think when I first saw that Reba's first break into the industry was her in first grade singing Away in a Manger, I knew this was meant to be.
Now, did you become a Christian because Reba is a Christian?
Yes.
Awesome.
I was really headed towards a bad path as a child.
Oh, what were you doing?
Well, I was cutting up rats. Then my mom said, you know, this is a sign of a serial killer. You know, if you are killing animals at a young age and enjoying it, this is a bad sign. And I can't help it sometimes when I really get into a song or when I'm really getting into food or enjoying an activity, like I'll sort of start to speak in tongues, but it becomes sort of demonic. It kind of takes me over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was headed down a bad path.
Oh, well, your mom could be right.
I am now like, I have a picture of Reba on my ceiling so that if I'm like, sort of feeling tempted, I'll see Reba's face and remember to, no, stay in line. You have a path. You have a journey to stay on, and it doesn't include rats.
She's okay. Always looking down on you. That's beautiful.
Is Reba married?
Reba is divorced. I know. It's the one part that I try to forget.
What happened? Was he hitting her or what?
He had to have been, right? Because otherwise, why would she have left him?
Right. Well, why would you hit Reba?
If I could find that man who hit Reba, I would murder him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'd murder him with my bare hands.
Wow.
She does have a son named Shelby, and I hate Shelby.
Why?
Well, because he gets Reba and I don't.
Oh, how old is he?
30.
Wow, Shelby sounds like a little kid name or a girl.
Shelby sounds like a girl name, but we are gossiping, and Psalm 34 says, thou shalt not gossip.
And about how old are you now?
Well, now I'm 20.
Okay. So, yeah, you're a 20-year-old who loves Reba, and you've got this small girl.
And I love a corn dog.
Oh, I love corn dogs. I like mini corn dogs. I like full corn dogs. I like a Trader Joe corn dog. I love a county fair corn dog. I love a ballpark corn dog. I go ketchup and mustard. What do you do?
I like a Costco corn dog. Ooh. So they just smother it in relish.
Oh, relish. I never thought of relish. Wow. Now, do you do like a turkey one, a vegan one, a ballpark one? Is it a regular old hot dog in there? What is it?
I go full meat.
I think that's blood type. You like meat based on your blood type. So you must be a certain type of blood type that has to be carnivorous.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You need that protein.
Do you guys know the intro song to Reba's show?
What's it go like?
So you don't know it?
No, I actually never actually heard of this person until you came on. So.
Oh, wow. Well, do you want to do the Reba Reborn? Do you want to hear the Reba Reborn version, or do you want to hear the real version?
Totally. Or maybe
both.
Let's start
with the real version, and then we'll hear your small group's version.
Okay. Well, I never remember the first line, so I think it's Roots, but here we go. My lips are planted in the past. Oh, I have to sing like Reba too, otherwise I can't do it.
Of course.
My lips are planted in the past, though my life is changing fast. Who I am is who I want to be. A single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops, with gentle hands in the heart of a fighter. I'm a survivor.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Kind of just kind of ends like,
awesome.
Ends right away. There.
Okay, so then what's the Christian, your small group version of the song?
Okay, yeah. My God is planted in my God. God, it happens so dang fast. Who I am is who I want to be. Just a girl who loves her God, who kisses her God and loves her God. And one day she will become a woman of God. I'm a survivor.
That is awesome.
Is it?
Thank you.
Wow. I mean, Laban, why do you think that so much of country music is Christian crossover? I feel like if you get into the rock and roll world, they're wicked. You get into the hip hop world, wicked and full of sin. Even some soft rock and smooth jazz, they get very sensual and very adulterous and fornicating and all that. But the country singers are so God-honoring. Now, what do you think makes the country music genre such a Christian space?
That's a really good question. You know, I would say Reba has been the pioneer. Who knows? Maybe if Reba wasn't around, they wouldn't have their North Star. Maybe they would be singing, you know, songs from the devil. We don't know. But because Reba has stayed so steadfast, I think she's been their North Star.
That's awesome.
And about how many people do you have coming to the small group right now?
So right now we have about 2 or 3 devoted people coming. We've got a wait list.
Oh, cool. And do you have to do a lot of research to really, you know, study the Bible so that you know what you're going to talk about in your small group and the ways in which the Bible stories relate to, you know, what it means to be a Reba fan?
Oh, yeah. It does take a lot of research and a lot of homework. I will try and find similarities between, you know, old stories and maybe what would Reba have done in that situation? What would Reba have done if God told her to kill her brother?
Oh, right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would she have done?
I think she would have killed her brother.
If God asked her to, what would Reba have done in the belly of the whale?
Reba would have set up shop.
What would she have done if she was in the lion's den?
Reba would have wrestled that lion to the ground.
What would Reba have done if they said, crucify her?
Oh, she would say, then crucify me, people. Put the holes in me.
What would Reba have done if the angel Gabriel came to her and said, you are favored among women, Reba, and you are with child, and it is the Son of God?
Well, then put that baby inside of me. I'm a survivor.
She sure is. Now, it's funny because she kind of sings like she talks. Can you do an impression of how she talks?
Yeah. Do you have like, why don't I do scripture as Reba?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's great. Maybe just your favorite verse.
Okay. Psalm 4:23. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep shall be sweet.
Oh, wow, that's really
awesome
good, I think.
Verse.
I've never heard Reba talk, so I'm assuming that's probably sounds like her.
And I'm going to put that verse in my pocket because sometimes I have trouble sleeping, Laban.
Me too. I struggle with night terrors. So I encourage you to, if you start to feel scared at night, start saying that over and over, but make sure you do it in Reba's voice in your head and it will really calm you.
Now, I don't want to be critical, but what I would say is, you know, one question that I have is, do you ever think that maybe Reba is maybe becoming so much of your focus because, you know, you clearly are living your life very similar to Reba, but I'm wondering if sometimes that is that similar enough to really leading a Christ-centered life if you're always sort of, you know, dressing like her and talking like her and singing the song and eating rats and doing all that stuff?
I do struggle with this because, you know, we are not allowed to have other gods above our God. And I will say God is number one. But if there was such thing as one and a half, that would be Reba.
Okay.
Now, what's your favorite song Reba does?
Well, I really like Fancy.
How's that go?
Okay, well, it goes... Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. I said, here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down.
Here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down.
Is Fancy a person?
I don't even understand what that means.
Well, I think her mom was saying, you know, her mom is telling her as a child, don't let people take advantage of you. You're Fancy. Don't let me down. It's your one chance, Fancy.
Oh.
Oh, but who says that? Who says, here's your chance, Fancy? It's just kind of like, is the name Fancy? But, you know, it just seems like a strange turn of phrase, doesn't it?
I think you calling one of Reba's songs strange is, I might have to tap out.
Okay. Well, yeah, no offense to Reba. I'm just saying, I'm not sure if I've ever heard anyone say, here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't let me down.
I'm going to look it up on Spotify.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would challenge you to think about who are you spending your time with? Because if you haven't
definitely not anybody named Fancy. I've like truly never met anyone named Fancy, and no one's ever been like, Fancy, don't let me down. I guess that's why I'm a bit
okay,
confused.
Well, I have five friends named Fancy, so.
You have five friends named Fancy?
Yeah.
Are they all in the small group?
Yep.
Oh, so you've renamed them Fancy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they weren't born Fancy, but okay. I have renamed them Fancy, so. Just, it's a very common name. The song makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, I could accidentally call you Fancy.
Oh, please don't. If you call me Fancy, I'm not going to answer to it because no one's ever called me Fancy.
Now, is there a competition in the country world between like Reba and Tanya Tucker and Faith Hill and Shania to be like, I'm the queen bee of the country world? Are they kind of fighting it out and jockeying for position?
So this is why Reba is so close to Jesus Christ is, you know, everyone sees this fame and they want some of it and they want to say this isn't real or you're a witch or whatever. She doesn't have an ego. The only person that would be slightly a threat is Dolly Parton.
Oh.
But leave it to Reba. Reba is best friends with Dolly Parton.
Is that right?
She embraces the challenge. And this is just like Jesus. Oh. You know, Jesus embraced the people who didn't believe that he was Jesus.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Jesus blessed them.
That's right. Wow. Well, Dolly Parton, I just feel like... It grieves the heart of God that Dolly thinks she has to put these big breasts in her body to get men to listen to her music. It really causes men to stumble in the flesh when they see those big globes on her chest.
I don't think so.
Now, is she stayed all natural?
You know, there's rumors floating around that she has had some fake things put inside of her body, but I think that is all from God. I think if you pray hard enough to keep me a certain way so that the people will respect me, he has blessed Reba.
She is blessed. Now, what does she say about being a Christian? How does she describe her faith and her walk with Christ?
Maybe she's got another fancy song about it.
Yeah, is there a song you could interpret as being about Christ?
Mm. Well, you know, she sang Away in a Manger.
Awesome.
And I feel like I mean, why not? I don't even know who sang Away in the Manger. Away in the Manger might as well be Reba's song, okay. You know? Yeah. Who else does it belong to?
Well, how does she sing Away in the Manger? Does she put her own spin on it?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I can sing it for you if you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Away in a manger, don't let me down.
Awesome. Wow.
No crib for a bed, don't let me down.
Yeah, that sounds just like her.
Well, it sounds like her, but it's not really the tune of Away in a Manger, is it? Kind of sounds like that fancy song.
Does it?
Does it? Can you maybe do it again?
Away in a manger, don't let me down.
Well, yeah, that's definitely it because she sang Don't Let Me Down and that was in the fancy song, right?
I think it's also
maybe it's like a
Away in a Manger. Away in a Manger, don't let me down. No, I think that's part of the lyrics.
Right, nobody's ever said Don't Let Me Down about the manger, Hallie.
Well, country music, it takes licenses, I think. Maybe it's a mashup. Now, does she sing any worship music?
Oh, yes, absolutely. She sings, and this is funny because this is my favorite worship song as well, but I can't sing it to you unless I sing like her.
Okay, great.
Is that all right?
I love worship music.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure you know this song. Feel free to, you know, harmonize or pop in whenever you want.
Okay.
Okay. Our God is an awesome God. He
reigns from heaven above.
Don't let me down.
With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.
Don't let me down.
Now, why is there "don't let me down" in that one? I mean, that's clearly not part of the lyrics. So she always... So what I understand here is Reber is just putting "don't let me down" into the worship music?
I think that's part of the song, isn't it?
No, I don't. It really isn't. I sing that song 2-3 times a day. And it just never... the song won't let you down. You don't even have to put "don't let me down" in that song.
Oh, one time I DVR'd Carrie Underwood and Vince Gill sing an "Amazing Grace," and which I think is honestly one of the greatest songs. So, and because think of those words, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me. Don't let me down."
Why would you do it in that one, though? That's the thing I don't understand. Is that one is clearly that's one of the oldest hymns of.
Was lost, but now I'm found.
Was blind, don't let
even
me
do it.
Down.
Well, we've definitely been let down there.
Laban Babertson was played by the absolutely delightful Lauren Robertson. She is a true goofball and a gorgeous soul, and we love her. Follow her at Lauren Mary Rob. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.